Thank you, Josh, and I too want to welcome you here this morning. It's good to have each one of you here to support Rochelle in this special commissioning service as she prepares to spend time serving the Lord across the seas in the work in Cambodia. And so it's good for each of you to see each of you here and support her as she pursues the work that God is calling her and the call that God has placed on her life. And as we were singing that last song, you know, I don't know, I hope you were thinking about the words that you really were singing there. Take my life. Lord, it's all yours, especially that last verse. Take my life. I pour all of my heart's treasures at your feet. Take it and use it only all for you. If we really meant that, God is going to do a work through you and through the church that this world has never seen before. And God wants that kind of commitment from us as we open our hearts to Him and whatever He is calling us to do in our lives. He will use us in a powerful way, that I'm sure of. This morning, for scripture and for a message, I'd like to turn to John chapter 4 and look at verses 27 to verse 42. Again, the last time I preached, I shared from this passage, and I skipped over these verses, but I'd like to go back to these verses. I feel they're very fitting for this morning in thinking about the message that we have and the need that we have to take that message to the world, to a world that needs to hear. John 4, 27 to 42, and we're kind of jumping in, kind of in the middle of the story, toward the end of the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus met her and spoke with her. And at this point, that conversation has ended for now. And it says, at this point, Jesus had told her who he was, and after saying that, at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." As we come into this story, Jesus has been traveling, leaving Judea, traveling to Galilee, and at this point he's been walking for 30 miles, and I don't know about you, but 30 miles is quite a ways to walk. If you like walking, you could walk to the other side of Hershey, and then you'd have walked about 30 miles, or down to the other side of Lancaster, and there's 30 miles. I don't know, would you feel like sitting and talking to someone about Jesus after you sit down to rest while you're tired? And just that's where Jesus was at as we come into this story. And Jesus had walked these 30 miles. He had traveled far. He was tired, hungry, thirsty. The disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and there he sat by the well, and along comes this woman, and Jesus struck up a conversation with her. You know, the disciples, as we come into our verses that we read, the disciples came back to Jesus and saw him talking with a woman, And it's interesting, you know, they saw the same human being that Jesus did, but they viewed that person from a totally different perspective. Jesus, as he was sitting there, and as he saw this woman come to the well, he knew the needs that were in her life. And yet the disciples, as they came upon the scene, they viewed this whole situation through a couple of lenses. One, through the lens of their culture, in that this wasn't socially acceptable for Jesus to be sitting here talking with this woman. And the other thing was, they were tired. They were hungry. They had just gone in to Subway, and they came back with these hot subs, and here Jesus was talking with the woman, and was interfering with the hunger, with what they felt was their needs. And you know, one of the things as we look at ministry, and I want to talk about three aspects of ministry this morning, but as we look at ministry, one of the first aspects, I believe, is truly an awareness of the needs of the people around us. As the disciples came back to the scene and saw Jesus, like I said, they saw the same person, but they didn't perceive the situation the same way that Jesus did. Jesus, as he was sitting there, you know, he would have had all the reasons that the disciples did to view that scene through the cultural eyes of avoiding that woman and letting her walk on by. He could have looked at his watch. Oh man, I don't have time for a conversation. The disciples are coming back soon. They're going to want to eat. I don't have time for this right now. But Jesus had an awareness of the needs that were in this woman's life. And he was going to take the time to share with her, even though he was tired, even though he could have ignored this woman like so many other people had. Jesus was aware of the needs of the individuals around them. And as he thought about this woman and her needs, and as he was concerned, and as he expressed his love for her, he started a conversation with her that spoke to the needs that were in this woman's heart. And he began making some very direct statements about what was going on in her life and the choices that she was making. And it's interesting to observe her conversation as he makes these statements and as he talks about her needs and some of the choices she's making. And it appears that as she responds to his insight into her life, it appears that she wants to change the topic away from herself to a controversial topic of the day. But I'm not sure that was her intent as she asked him that question. I rather believe that this woman was saying, okay, so you claim to be a special person, and you claim to have special insight into my life and what's going on, and I'm not going to deny any of the reality of what's there, of the pain and the choices that I'm making. But since you're a special person, tell me, where can I meet God? Where does a person go to find God and to meet the God that has the answers? Because as we read on in the verses, on down further, especially verse 25, the woman makes some interesting statements about her understanding about Christ and about the Messiah that's going to come. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. She had a faith in the coming Messiah. And she also says that when he comes, it's not if, when he comes, I know, again, a certainty of faith, I know that he's going to tell me all things. That Christ, when he comes, he's going to have the answers that I have been looking for. And I don't deny that I've been searching in the wrong directions. But where do I go to find God? How can I know this person that has the answers for my life, for the pain that I'm dealing with in wrong ways? How can I know him? How can I find him? How can I worship him? And I believe the questions she was asking and the statements she was making were coming out of her search for God. Not out of a denial of who she was and the wrong choices she was making, but out of her search for the God that held the answers. And you know, as we look at our lives and thinking of an awareness of the needs around us, you know, we can all come up with excuses of why we don't reach out, why we don't see, and maybe it's because of our busyness, maybe it's because of our own weariness. But you know, Jesus' weariness came out of his ministry with his disciples, out of his journey. But too often our weariness is coming because of the rat race that we've chosen to participate in, not because we have stepped aside and are that involved in ministry, but because of the pressures of our culture that we have chosen to join into. And as we struggle with the busyness and the weariness, you know, I'm speaking for myself, my focus tends to turn inward and into my own tiredness and my own feelings and my own desire for rest and my own needs that I have. And, you know, often we don't want to be bothered. We just want to be left alone. And I'm sure Jesus could have felt that way as he rested on the well from his journey. And we don't want to be bothered by anybody's problems. And we have the idea that I don't know, and I don't really want to know, and I don't care. Because of our busyness, because of our tiredness, and our preoccupation with ourselves prevents us from seeing the needs and perceiving the needs of the people that God places in our path as he brings us to certain places and certain times in our life. God brings us there for a purpose, for a reason. There may be a person in particular that we are there to reach out and touch their lives and to speak some word of hope and of life into their being. But we're too preoccupied with ourselves, with our own busyness, and we miss meeting the needy people that are going to the well to draw water. That's never going to quench your thirst. It's never going to satisfy. And we miss the people that God brings into our lives that are searching. They're searching for God and they're searching for answers. And we miss it because of our own busyness, because of our own self-centeredness. And we need, like Jesus, we need to develop an awareness of the needs of the people around us. What we really need is a love for these people. That's what motivated Jesus. As he was sitting by the well, in spite of his tiredness, his love for the people around him motivated him to talk to this woman and to help her in her time of, in her needs that were in her heart and her life. And I believe that's the reason for our failure. It's not necessarily our busyness. It's not necessarily our tiredness, but it's our lack of a true heart of compassion, a heart of love like Jesus had for the people around us who are really hurting, who are really struggling, who need to hear the message of a Savior, of a Christ that has come that will meet their needs. We do not love people the way we ought or the way we have been commanded. And we ought to be a Jesus that's sitting by the well to meet the needy people, but instead, too often we're there at the well with our own empty water pot, looking for a way to fill it and for a way to meet the needs that are in our own heart. What we really need is for God to fill us and to fill us with his love for other people and for him to show us the things in our life that are preventing his love from flowing through us to those around us, and especially when we're tired. And you know, Rochelle, as you leave here, and I know that the ministry, if I can find where Rochelle is sitting, there she is. I know the ministry at first is going to seem exciting, and it's exciting. It is exciting to go and be in another culture and to be a part of a ministry team, maybe that's new and it's a new frontier kind of in a way. But there's going to come times of just tiredness and you want to get away from it all. And why did I come here? Why did I do this? Is it really what I'm supposed to be doing? And you're going to get weary and you're going to get tired. But the challenge is, in spite of the weariness, and there is a time for rest. There is a time for refreshment and a time for us to go to God and get our focus and our vision renewed and to get that refreshment. But the challenge is to maintain an awareness of the needs around us and a love for the people that we are ministering to. That even in the times of weariness, that love is still our motivation that causes us to reach out into the lives of others, to minister to those needs, even though you'd rather look the other way or withdraw from those needs, it still motivates us to pursue people, to pursue their hearts, and to have an awareness of the needs around us. We need the love of God to fill us. The second thing I'd like to think about from this passage of Scripture is what Jesus stresses down in verse 35. He says, don't say there are 4 months and then comes harvest. And I believe what he's saying here is in the setting there in the land, there was 4 months between the sowing and the reaping. And Jesus, as he was teaching his disciples, I believe the disciples felt that they were part of the sowing of the seed, and they were in some aspects. But Jesus is teaching them that that's not necessarily the case. Jesus is saying that the time of reaping is actually here. There have been others that have been sowing and that have been planting the seeds. And now is the time for reaping the harvest. We can't just delay and we can't put it off and say, well, it's going to be 4 months. There's time for that. And good things take time. And all in good time. The reaping is going to come. We need to sow first, and then we're going to reap. And Jesus is saying, that's not the perspective. The reaping time is now. And so we have the urgency of the mission. We have awareness of the need, and we have the urgency of the mission. The reaping time is now. Others have planted. And I believe even in Cambodia, God's Spirit has already been at work in the hearts and lives of people, preparing them for Rochelle and the team to come and share the good news of the gospel. And the reaping time is now. There are people that God has prepared for them to meet. Jesus says, lift up your eyes. Take your eyes off of your own small world and look ahead. Look at what God is doing. God is at work. He's preparing a harvest. And I believe this is a command from Christ to his disciples that they are to look at the work that's before them and to see that the harvest is now. And as Jesus is talking about that, the fields are ripe for harvest. He may have been looking at the men of the city, seeing their white headdresses as they came out of the city and as they came toward him, as a group of them possibly coming toward them, saying the field is white, and seeing their dress as they came to meet him. He's saying the field is white, it's ready for harvest, the people are coming, they want to hear, they're hungry to hear the message of the Messiah. Jesus has also commanded us to go in the Great Commission that we know so well in Matthew 28. And I've often heard it called the Great Omission, because we don't go and we don't spread the word. We omit it from our lives. And I heard an illustration recently stressing the importance of our obedience. And you know, us as fathers, we give our children commands and we expect to be obeyed. And if I tell my daughter to go and clean her room, I wouldn't be too happy if she said, you know, that's really a great phrase, Dad. I'm going to memorize that phrase, and I'll come back and I'll repeat it back to you. I wouldn't be too impressed. Now, maybe she'd say, you know, that was really a great phrase, Dad. I'm going to look up each and every word. I'm going to translate it into Greek, and I'm going to let you know a little later what those words exactly mean, and I'll be able to explain the exact definition of each word that you said. That was really a great phrase. I really like that. I might even memorize it in Greek if I get around to it. Or, you know, I might even get a group of friends to come over and we'll sit down at the kitchen table, and since that phrase was so good, we're going to study that phrase and we're going to see how we can make that phrase what it really means and how we can apply it to our lives. We're going to really study that phrase, Dad. And I walk by that room and I look in and the room's still messy. What am I going to think as a dad as I view my child's response to my command to go and to clean her room? I'm not going to be very pleased. My child disobeyed. Jesus has given us some pretty clear commands in Scripture when it comes to spreading the gospel and to taking the gospel to those that don't hear. He's made that pretty clear. Look up, lift up your eyes. Look in the fields. They're white and ready to harvest. The harvest time is now. It's not down the road. It's now. People need to hear the message of the gospel. The urgency of the mission is great. Rochelle, may you never lose sight of the urgency of the mission. And I think sometimes for you, it may be clearer. But again, there's going to be times where you're going to struggle with the urgency of the mission. It is urgent. As I was studying and preparing, you know, I'd wonder how many Cambodians will have died during the time that I prepared this message, during the time that I'm presented. As we sit here on our comfortable pews, how many Cambodians will have died and are spending eternity in hell while we're sitting here in our comfortable padded pews, holding in our laps a message of salvation that could have saved them from that terrible place? No, I know that we can't take the gospel to all the Cambodians. I know that. But unless we go, we will not have taken the gospel to any of them. And that applies to Womelsdorf. That applies to wherever you may be, wherever you may live. You don't necessarily have to go overseas, but there are people in our community that need to hear the gospel. They're waiting for someone to come and tell them of the Savior that has come and that has died, that they don't need to spend eternity in a Christless hell apart from God. May we never lose sight of the urgency of our mission. And then as we go down in these verses, Jesus talks about the reward of the labor. You know, everybody looks forward to payday. I look forward to payday, to receiving the reward. You know, there's only one problem that I found with a paycheck, and that's that I have to work for it. I've never found a way to get a paycheck without working for it. And you know, Jesus talks about that here in these verses. But it's interesting, as Jesus responds to his disciples, the lady went back and she was so excited. She left her water pot there and she went back to her community and said, "Listen, you've got to meet the person that I just did. Could this be the person, the Christ, that has the answers? It's going to come then. It's going to have the answers for us. Could this be the person we've been waiting for? And come and see a man that told me all that I ever did." And they went out of the city to him, and his disciples said, "Rabbi, eat." And Jesus responds, "I had food to eat that you don't know anything about." Was Jesus still hungry from his travels? I believe he was. I don't believe Jesus was referring to the physical hunger that he felt and as he rested by the well. But Jesus, I believe, is saying that my work, the work that I am doing, in doing the work of my Father, in fulfilling His will, in fulfilling the call that He has, the mission that He has in completing His work, is providing the satisfaction that I need in life. It's the food, it's the satisfaction. We all like to sit down after a hard day's work and sit down to a good meal and eat our fill and we're hungry. And we go away from the table and we lean back at the table and we're satisfied. That felt so good. And Jesus is saying that the satisfaction in life, the real satisfaction in life, comes from doing God's will and for being available to His call in our lives to serve Him and to follow Him wherever that may be. My food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to fill it, and to finish His work. Do we believe that that's true for us today? That there is nothing that will satisfy us in our lives the way that filling God's plan for our lives will do. Answering His call. Finishing the work that He has called us to do. There is nothing else that will bring that sense of fulfillment. We can search the whole world over in the world, and many of us Christians are trying to fill that satisfaction in so many other ways, to find that satisfaction in so many other ways. The only true way to find satisfaction and fulfillment is in the answer God's call on our lives and surrender our lives completely to doing His will and His work. It's food for today. It brings the satisfaction and the fulfillment in our lives as we follow God's plan. But also, there's a reward for tomorrow. You know, as Jesus stayed there in that city, the Samaritans asked Him if they would stay another couple of days, and Jesus did. And it says that many more of the Samaritans believed on Him. a lot believed because of the woman and her testimony that she was so excited of what Jesus was going to do for her, what Jesus had done for her. She went back and told them. She couldn't keep the news to herself. She left her water pot and ran back. But many more believed. There's a reward for tomorrow. Jesus said that those who reap receive wages. Those who are part of the reaping and the harvesting of souls, they gather fruit for eternal life. Daniel 12 talks about the end of the age and how there's going to be a time of suffering. And he talks about how the many of those who sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And I believe that the time that we spend, the time that we invest in other people's lives and in leading them to the Savior will be rewarded. I don't believe we'll ever be a moment of regret as we stand in eternity for the times that we have spent in sharing the gospel and in reaching out to those around us that are needy and that need to hear. And Rochelle, you know, again, I believe there will be a lot of times that Satan will bring doubt about your call. Was it real? Am I really in the right place? And they'll be tempted to feel like maybe you're wasting your life. But I believe that when you come to the end of your life and you stand before God Almighty, and even if you've lived your whole life in Cambodia, and you don't have a penny to your name or anything really to show materially, I believe that when you stand before God, you will not look back with regret for one single moment of your life that you lived in ministry to those who do not hear the gospel. I believe you will be so glad that you gave your life, that you spent your time investing in the lives of others. And I believe that's true for each one of us. We will never regret the investment in the lives of others as we share the gospel and as we reach out to those who are needy and those who need to hear the hope that Christ can give as they are searching for answers. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the message of the gospel. And Lord, we confess our own lack of obedience in going and sharing and telling those that need to hear. Lord, we acknowledge that we are pretty complacent and we're pretty comfortable. And we come up with pretty many excuses of why we can't go or why we shouldn't go or why we aren't going. And dear God, I just pray that you would place in our hearts a love and a compassion, a vision for those that are around us that need to hear. May we go and tell them of the Christ that has the answers to life. And again, I thank you for the message you have given to us. I pray for your blessing on Rochelle as she goes and on the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.